to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is Tom.
This is Gavin Durson.
We've been out of the studio for a few months, but we're back. Gavin and I are recording and getting into trouble, and let's get into some trouble now. Gavin, what do you want to talk about?
Well, today we thought we would comment a bit about what seems to be a trend or just the trend in our country, I guess you could say, of government intrusion on religious liberties, whether it be some of the issues that came up with healthcare and the Catholic Church that was in the news a lot a few years ago and still today, I guess, or even just as recently as a few weeks ago with the mayor in Houston subpoenaing the sermons of pastors in the area because it seemed to have, I guess, had some messages there that were kind of, I guess, against her, some policies they had made about the gay and lesbian and transgender community. It just seems there's an overall trend of government intrusion. And I would like to pose that question to you, Tom, and to our listeners, in the next 10 to 15 years, what do you think is more likely, that there will be more attempts of government taking away religious liberties from the citizens of the United States? Or do you think that there will be an expansion of religious liberties? Which direction do you think that will go? Or do you think it'll stay about where it is now?
I don't see it staying where it is now, and I certainly don't see it getting any better short of the return of Christ or a major, major, major revival. Which is possible and something that we certainly pray for. But I really think the trend is in a downward spiral. And I think the church and its leaders need to really come to terms with that and figure out what they're prepared to do and not do as more of our liberties are encroached upon.
Yeah, so the question is then, what are we to do about that with Simple Church? Does Simple Church, and I would agree with you that I suspect there will be more plays on religious liberties by the government in the years to come, and that our children perhaps may live in a country that looks completely different than the one we live in now. So what does that mean for Simple Church, and what does that mean for House Church? And this is an area I personally feel that there are a lot of advantages to House Church and Simple Church. And I think that it would be one of the reasons that I believe that God will see an expansion of people involved in House Church or Simple Church type ministry as more and more of those religious liberties are taken away. And primarily because it seems as though a lot of the when you're talking about church as being based primarily around relationships, it seems to take away that opportunity for government to interfere in personal relationships. And when you have a religious structure that's based primarily on, whether it be certain statuses with the government or public sermons in a large manner, things being put on TV, messages going across the airways, and these sorts of things, those are easy grabs. Those are low-hanging fruit in some regards for government to try to come in, squelch speech, take away freedoms and liberties. And I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that like to, that kind of go on with that. That's not the main reason I'm doing Simple Church. But I think there are some things that, I would be highly surprised, for example, if churches were able to get away with not paying property taxes on through the next 20 years. I think that will be something that it seems like it gets brought up. I know it's been brought up in our own town. Yeah. And I think that in and itself would hurt a lot of the smaller churches, not so much maybe the mega churches, but there would be a lot of traditional churches that, I think should tomorrow the government be forcing them to pay property tax, well, there would be a lot that would very much struggle to keep their doors open. Yeah. And I think that is a, you know, I'd like to believe it wouldn't happen, but I don't believe, I would say that would be, I would be surprised if it didn't happen in my lifetime. And that would just be one example of things that the government, as they reach out and take power and kind of do those things, it's going to put a lot of traditionally type churches, I think, in trouble. Sure. What do you think?
Well, if it's not the government that comes down on us, it's going to be certain communities that disagree with, you know, a biblical worldview, whether it's the humanists, you know, the gay rights, you know, whatever. We've seen situations in the past where if an individual or a corporation or somebody in with high visibility makes any kind of effort to declare biblical truth or say, I don't agree with this viewpoint, they're come down upon very harshly. I'm thinking, what is it, Firefox, the CEO of Firefox, you know, this is going back several months, but he at one point many years ago had donated to a cause which wanted to affirm traditional marriage.
Yeah.
8 years later or something like that, that is reviewed. He's, you know, they find out about that. He's the CEO of Google. He's no longer the CEO of Google. They forced him to resign.
Was it Google or
Firefox? Firefox. My bad. I'm sorry. I don't want to say anything wrong, and I'll edit that out. it's Firefox, and so the, you know, the powers that be at Firefox, you know, ousted him. So since then, I've been using Google Chrome. So.
Yes.
Probably edit that out too, because we don't want to do product placement on this show.
Yeah, unless they pay us. They should be paying
us. I'll beat that out. Yeah. I'm using such and such browser now because of that.
But this is a, you know, sometimes we may talk about advantage. I do believe that God is going to be moving more and more people into expressions of the church that will be much more organic and simple in form. And I really believe that it's not something I would love for there to remain lots of freedoms in our country, and I'll do what I can to ensure mm-hmm. that happens. But also, I think that we're not, you know, there's no promise to us that that will happen, right. That we'll be protected as a people. And you know, I think this is an advantage of simple church. I think this is a reason, I wouldn't put it at the top of the reasons why I would be involved in simple church. But I think that as we prepare for a day that maybe our country doesn't look quite the way that it does now, and some places even, you know, now, like for example in Houston, where there's some intimidation that's happened just recently about what you say from a pulpit and what you don't, I think this is a real advantage in simple church, because there is it's quite a bit different when you think about speaking about an issue that may be a hot button issue with regards to what the government thinks, from a pulpit, where you're opening your doors to anybody to kind of come in and monitor what you're saying, versus having a conversation about that same issue around a dinner table or in your living room.
Right.
And there's relationship that's involved in that setting. And to be quite honest, I think that's the best place for those issues to be addressed. I don't think any of us should be afraid to stand up and say what we believe and that we affirm the teaching of Scripture. But if I'm really wanting to help somebody, if I'm really interested in helping someone who may be struggling with a particular issue, I think the best place for me to address that issue is across the table from right. that individual. And so it doesn't bother me. It doesn't scare me. It bothers me. It doesn't scare me when I see these things happening, because I believe that the best venue is not for us to necessarily address these in the pulpit type pew sits environment. You know, I mean, we shouldn't shy away from it. But I think there's a better environment for us to even talk about these issues. And it's whenever you have a relationship with those people. And unfortunately, I've been there, and, you know, I've spoken, I've talked about controversial issues, whether, and I've kind of spoken on those from the pulpit. And I've since looked back on those times and I think, wow, I wonder how more effective that could have been if those issues could have been talked about in a more intimate setting for people that may be struggling with whatever the issue is, or whether it's, you know, homosexuality, or maybe it's a lady who's considering an abortion. And, you know, she hears me talk about abortion from the pulpit, but she doesn't know me. But if I could have had a conversation with her about abortion across the dinner table, I think that would have been the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
So it bothers me, it doesn't scare me. And this would be one of the advantages, I think, when we think about church functioning like a family, church functioning like, you know, much more like an organism than an organization. Because organizations have to have policies, and if you're going to the government to get 501c3 status, you have to make sure you have to submit those in writing to the government, and they have to approve it, and you get into all of that. Whereas when you're thinking about church around a table, in a home or in a park bench, you know, it's a different scenario.
I agree with you, and I think at this point in time, you know, house churches, organic churches, simple churches, whatever you prefer to call them, are definitely under the radar, and hopefully they'll stay that way. The other thing I'm thinking, though, is I don't want to come off as truly optimistic that, you know, any organic church is going to be a safe haven for you if you believe biblically, because I think simple churches, unfortunately, reflect what's going on in the institution. So if you have a church that affirms same-sex marriage, you'll also have house churches that affirm same-sex marriage, or if you have churches that are, you know, more pro-life and more family-oriented, you know, you'll also have house churches. So if you're not in agreement with your church and you're thinking that the obvious solution is a house church, you know, be careful there too, because, you know, house churches are just like any other church, and you don't know really where they're coming from until you've spent some time with them and you figure out what they believe.
I would say to that as well is that, you know, and you know, you and I have talked about some of this times that we were even talking about before the podcast, just there's a variety of views upon, like, well, people have different comfort levels with doctrine and belief statements, right. And some people think, well, I need to have our doctrine written out on a sheet of paper, a statement of faith. Other people are fine with, hey, we've got the Bible, what else do we need? And there's all kind of spectrum there of what people are comfortable with. And, you know, again, like, I think when we think about church primarily being centered around the relationships, then it does change things a bit. I mean, I personally can tolerate someone who doesn't believe doctrinally everything that I believe if they're a friend of mine, that someone that I've also gotten to know. I have a relationship with them and their family. I care for them. I'm praying for them. We serve together. You know, we may disagree on some things, but we're still able to have fellowship, you know, in those things.
Hopefully you agree on the essentials.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about in a previous, you know, podcast, the bullet test, you know.
Yeah.
That is where a lot of people, and some churches may decide they want to write a statement. House churches may say, we want to have a statement of faith. Go for it. Some simple churches may decide they don't want to do that. And that's, again, you know, there's some freedom in that. Mm-hmm. And every group would be different, maybe depending on the place you were at, who you were reaching out to and things. But I think a lot of times what can happen, and we don't want to do this either, is that we don't want to become, you know, so rigid that we try to figure out, we seem more interested in who we're going to keep out rather than who we're going to let in.
Right.
You know, because I think sometimes that's where that can go. You got eight people sitting around a table talking about what they're going to believe. It starts to get a feeling. It's like, well, we're trying to figure out who we don't want to be a part of this. And while there is some, maybe a place for that discussion, I think my experience has been, certainly my heart, is one more of figuring out how can we get more and more people into this, into our fellowship, into the family of God, and getting to know us and believing that if they have a relationship with us and see Jesus in what our family, our spiritual family here is doing, that will be contagious. They will then see Christ and come to know Him. But yeah, so those are just some important issues. I think that it's going to need to be on the radar in the future, and certainly even today. You know, I'd like to believe that we would never see the day where the government would be getting into our personal conversations taking place in our living rooms or at the park with our friends. But, you know, it's happened before, and there's no promise that it wouldn't ever get that bad. But I think when there has been that type of persecution, one thing that we have seen is that the house church and the simple church has survived that, you know.
Exactly.
And so that is something to be encouraged about.
And I think we're starting to see some government intrusion into house church meetings. I remember about a year ago, there was I think it was in Texas again, or somewhere out west, but there was a house church leader, and during their meetings, you know, the streets were clogged with cars coming, and he wanted to redo his garage and make it into a small sanctuary, and the neighbors just got fed up with all that and complained. So, you know, there's the law, and then there's, you know, being a good neighbor. So if you're gonna have church at your house, you know, make sure there's adequate parking. You don't mess up your neighbor's yards or anything like that, or cause any.
Yeah, there is something too, like being a good neighbor. And if you're trying to reach your neighbors, I don't know every situation. I know that that's kind of an interesting thought of turning your garage into a sanctuary. But that would be different than the type of simple churches I'm familiar with. But
yeah, that's a little more complicated, simple church.
Yeah, in that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think there is. You know, I think the tendency, one of the things me and a friend of mine talk about a lot of times, you know, I think there can be this tendency when you start to think about government taking away religious liberties that you can immediately just put anything to do with government in this category that's like bad and they're out to get us. And I think we have to be, you know, we have to be wise, but we also don't need, you know, I'm not one that wants to advocate just, you know, that everything that the government does is out to get me. You know, there are probably, I'm sure, some people listening to this podcast who may believe that, and I'm tempted to believe that at times, but, you know, there are good reasons why there are parking rules and some of those things, and we can pick, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of choosing our battles and being a good neighbor and those sorts of things. And again, there will always be that case of someone who's trying to, I think, use their power within the government to go after Christians, or use their power in a job or in an organization that you're a part of or whatever to go after Christians. But, you know, there are also good things that I enjoy that the government does that we don't want to, you know, find ourselves just completely labeling it like an us against them type thing. So,
and my last comment today on this is, you know, we're talking about house church as if, you know, it's somewhere you can hide and have, you know, proper views. I think we're at the point where we don't need to be hiding the truth. And, you know, we don't need to be afraid of the government. The government may come after us. They may subpoena us. They may throw us in jail. But we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We don't need to be ashamed of the Bible.
Yeah.
And we need to stand up and speak for truth wherever we are, whether we're in public forum or in our living rooms, or, you know, let's not be ashamed of the gospel. But, you know, at the same time, let's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and let's be smart about it.
I couldn't say it any better.
Yeah, good deal. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church Podcast, or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.